This is NRL Boom Rookies.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Boom Rookies presented by ESPN. I am Matt Bunga, back safe and sound in Sydney, and with me today, Nick Campton. Hello.
We're back together.
We
feels
are.
Like it feels like it's been a long time, even though it's
only
been about
does.
A week. Yeah.
But yeah, hit the tarmac at Sydney Airport this morning about 7 a.m., straight in the gym and then straight in the podcast room.
You got to get a pump on first.
Yeah.
You can't come into contrary to what you may believe about podcast hosts, you can't come into this with skinny arms, dude. You got to feed the pythons. And getting off an international flight from America and coming straight into the Thunderdome to get it done on the mic, that's a Boom Rookies tradition. That's just how we do it. That's a rite of passage.
Exactly right, mate. You got to do it. And so for everyone listening who's not a Patreon subscriber, this is our usual weekly question time show, which is exclusive to people who support us on patreon.com/NRLBoomRookies. But as we've done in the last couple of years, we open up round one to everyone just so you can hear what you're missing. So this will go on the main feed with our Friday preview show as normal, also on the main feed tomorrow. But given it is Thursday morning at time of recording, Nick, and we haven't had time to talk about it yet, we will also do a quick few minutes on your beloved Canberra Raiders, the prestigious role of Australian opening game.
This does kill me because, like, you know, fingers crossed that there were a couple of Seppos who saw the Vegas games last week. And were like, I love this game, man. Big hits, no pads. These Aussies are crazy. So they signed up for the Watch NRL app. They're going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to tune in. And there's they'll see the sold out, you know, Marathon Stadium up there. And they'll see Kalen Ponga and Bradman Best and Newcastle.
Screaming Jets are about to be the number one streamed artist in America. It's going
to
be great.
Yeah, the Screaming Jets are about to take over America. But then there's also a chance that Canberra just come in and Canberra all over the place.
Kind of like they did for the vast majority of that finals game last year.
That's it. So there's a chance that this American tunes in and he's expecting to see like some of that free-flowing Souths Manly stuff from last week. And instead he's got Jordan Rapana kicking people in the face.
Why is this green team so mean?
For it.
How is this green team getting away with everything?
Fuck around and never, ever, ever find out. That's the Canberra Raiders way. Look, it sounds dumb to say I'm pumped up for this because it's a season opener. Like, you got to be pumped up. But I think it's good for a team to really get their mettle tested early. With Newcastle sort of coming off last season, going into the belly of the beast up there is always going to be a really, really good test to see where you're at, you know? Like, it's a real sink or swim type situation. And I actually think this game sort of matches up pretty similarly to the way that finals game did last year. Like, obviously Canberra have got a lot more troops back. This is a much, much stronger looking side, but I think it's going to come down to Newcastle's free-flowing attack, especially down that left side with Bradman Best and Kalen Ponga getting together with Dylan Lucas down that side as well. I'm really, really keen to see how he goes. I think he's going to have a massive year. And then I think Canberra are probably a little bit stronger in the forwards and maybe sort of have a bit of a hard edge that Newcastle don't quite have as much. So it's like, it's a classic matchup, you know, it's free flowing attack against a bunch of rock breaking shit kickers who don't believe in nothing no more.
That's right.
You know, so I'm excited for it. Like, I know that I think Channel 9 like really raised their eyebrows when this was picked as the like sort of the Australian season opener, but I think it's a great one because rugby league can be glitzy and glamorous and it can go all around the world, you know, because we got some of the best athletes in the world, but it's also about one team towns, you know, it's about coal miners packing into the stadium. It's about, you know, local boys doing local shit for the local team, you know? So this is I think this was from the NRL's perspective, a really good sort of almost like a moose bouche or a palate cleanser for the Vegas game. So I think it's going to be a beauty.
That was one of the hardest things to explain to Americans last week was that like half of our competition play in the same city.
Yeah.
That part they didn't really get.
Okay, but imagine if New York was like a tenth of the size or even like a 20th of the size, but had like five times as many
NFL teams. what a great idea. It does sound silly when you put it like that, but I'm fine with it quite personally. But yeah, a few new faces on each side. Very keen to see how Morgan Smithies goes. I know that he's mainly known for his defense, so he might not exactly make any eye-popping plays for the Raiders, but certainly a really solid guy that they've got over from Super League. Super keen to see how Zach Hoskin goes in a new environment. And that halves combination of Ethan Strange and Jamal Fogarty is very intriguing to me as well. That was the big question mark for Canberra all offseason, was who's going to replace Jack Whiten. And they've given the first crack to Strange. Talk to me about him.
Yeah, look, I thought Kyo Weeks was pretty good in the trials, but it's also clear that those two games, that was a fair dinkum shootout, and Strange played better. So Strange has got the job. You know, I think he's come in, he's sort of progressed a little bit ahead of schedule. Really strong defender, as you guys would have been able to see in the trials. Like, really good one-on-one, great technique about him as well. What I really like about him is he's always on the balls of his feet. You know, he's always pushing up. He's always there in support. He doesn't mind sort of backing his own ability a little bit as well. He's a squat, powerful, low to the ground runner. It's a funny comparison to make, but I actually think, like, body wise, he's a little bit similar to Matthew Tomoko. Like, mm-hmm. not as strong and not as diesel, obviously, but very compact, you know. And I'm keen to see how he goes. I'm keen to see how the Raiders go with a 5'8" that's probably a little bit more orthodox. You know, Jack Whiten, for, like, you know, all the good things he did do for the Raiders, he had some blues in him, you know, and that was just sort of part, that was just the cost of doing business, and I was happy to pay it for a really long time. But Strange is just a little bit more orthodox and a confident kid for a guy of that age. I'm really excited to see how he goes.
Yeah, mate, I think you should really be excited. He definitely caught my eye on the trials as well. Shame for KO Weeks. We've been having a lot of fun hyping him up over the offseason, but I'm sure he'll get a chance at some point. Do you think there's any chance during this game that Rapana and Xavier Savage swap positions?
I do. I actually think that's part of the reason that they brought Savage back into the side. He looks to be a little bit stronger than he was last year, definitely a little bit bigger, a little more willing to throw himself around. And it wouldn't shock me if they do trade places a little bit. Like, the Raiders did that a little bit last year with Rapana and Chris at times. You know, I think it's clear how much Ricky Stewart trusts Rapana. You know, there were a couple of games last year where it came down to the final play, because it's Canberra and it always does. And the other team would put up a desperation bomb, but it would be Rapana back at fullback, because he's the one that I think has the most belief from the coaching staff. I wouldn't mind seeing them swap around a little bit, because I think at this point of their careers, they're very different sorts of players. Like, Savage with his speed, obviously, is fantastic. Rapana, an underrated passer, and also just like a devil may care, unkillable Mormon king, you know? So mix it up a little. Why wouldn't you? Why not? Albert Hopewadi in the centers surprises me, but Ricky Stewart has a round one surprise in him every single year. And taking a winger and trying to put him in the centers, that's a Raider tradition at this point. They did it with Edric Lee. They did it with Semi Valame. None of it worked. Maybe it'll work this time. I don't know.
Maybe. And on the Knights side, there's obviously a Dom Young-sized hole left in that back line. Anari Tuala filled in at times last year for various people in that back line and looked pretty solid. So whilst he's not Dom Young, he's a very capable player. They've got, you know, Jack Cogger taking that Kurt Menrol on the bench. But the big one for me on the bench is Kai Pierce-Paul, the English guy they brought over, who has plenty of raps on him.
Yeah, look, he might not get that many minutes in this game. It might take him a while to get to full fitness, because he has struggled a bit with a couple of injuries in the preseason. But he's, like, I think he's as slam dunk an English import as we've had in quite a while. You know, like a rangy, athletic, skillful big man, really good on the edge of the rack. I think the idea is going to be he eventually takes over Tyson Frizzell's spot. I think for this game, he might only get 15, 20 minutes. But yeah, he's definitely one to watch. I heard an interesting rumor about the Knights last week, and it didn't end up coming to fruition, but I heard a rumor that they were thinking about about not having Tuala in the team at all, moving Gagai to the wing and moving Will Price into the centers. Okay. I don't know how true that was. It was just sort of a thing that was bounced around a little bit. But once I heard it, I couldn't get it out of my mind. Although that would be, like, I know Gagai's a little bit older and it'd be tough to be as physical on the wing as he would need to be at his age. But the idea of getting Price into what is already a very loaded back line, it made me feel things, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. He'll no doubt get his chance as well. Super excited to see what he's got to offer. Just for you, I'm going to tip the Raiders.
Oh, nice. This is a classic one where I think the Knights are going to win, but I'm going to tip the Raiders anyway, because if you don't tip your team in round one, you're a piece of shit.
Are you serious? We're going to have any questions.
Okay, and now it is time for questions, as we do every week, starting over on patreon.com. Once again, for new listeners, this show is usually behind the paywall, patreon.com/EveronRookies, but for today only, you're all getting a taste, a little morsel. Oh, so yes. let's make them good, Nick.
Well, it kind of depends on the quality of the questions, which is always a bit of a curveball, but we'll start as we always do over on Patreon. Josh Brandon, if you were coaching Souths, what would you do differently?
Yeah, so I still just don't fully understand what's wrong with the team. I think that the first and most obvious change I would make would be in the seven. I think it's time to give Dean Hawkins a chance. He's had very limited first grade opportunities, and most of those were in Origin affected games where he didn't exactly have all the talent around him to succeed. And again, another pretty disappointing game from Lachlan Ilias the other night. I mean, great effort to run down Jace Tassar, but other than that, a couple of really poor errors. He had that goal line knock on early in the game when Souths were building pressure, and I don't really think that he ever truly got into the game. People who are far smarter than me have warned me, I'll be careful what you wish for with Dean Hawkins. But at this point, like, give him a few weeks. And if it doesn't work, you can always go back to Ilias. But this is a guy now that's had no competition at all for his spot going into a third season. And his play, I don't think, has justified that. So I think the most obvious thing for me would be to just kick the tires on Dean Hawkins, see what he's got. We can't just keep running it back forever and wondering why it's not working.
Well, then, like, maybe a few weeks in reserve grade for Ilias wouldn't be the worst thing. Like, if he can go down there and brain him, which you would hope he'd be able to do if you really think he's your long-term guy, maybe a couple of weeks out of the spotlight, getting a little bit of the mojo back, getting back what you saw in him in the first place when you committed to him like this. Maybe that's not the worst thing in the world, you know? I was going to go with Ilias as well, but I knew you would, so I thought I'd stay away from it. I really, really want to see Jai Arrow move into the middle.
Yep.
I was surprised actually by how sluggish Souths looked for large periods of that Vegas game. When they got it together, like, shit was off the hook, you know, like when Luttrell threw that pass to Jacob Gagai, that was mad. And when they're connecting like that out the back, or in that first sort of 30 minutes when Cook was just tearing apart, they really had a little bit of a bounce going, but then they kind of lost it. And I know that, you know, we like his strength as a defender, but I wonder if they need somebody who can offer a little bit more with ball in hand, particularly like once the starters come off. You know, I've never really liked Arrow on the edge that much. I think that's a thing he can do, but I've always thought the middle is where he excelled. He's had some great games in the front row for Queensland. So maybe Arrow dropping back to the bench and then him and Tom Burgess coming on together. You know, that hopefully would give you that sort of punch through the middle of the field and help you be more consistent through the 80 minutes.
And who would you put out on the right instead?
Well, that's kind of the problem because...
House Duncan?
I think he can do it. I think he can do it. I'd have him in the team regardless. Maybe you leave Arrow on the edge and maybe Talis Duncan can be that guy, you know? And maybe if Talis Duncan's there, he's a bit similar in running style to Cam Murray. Maybe you can play Cam Murray for a bit fewer minutes and try and get more impact out of him, make him like a 50-minute guy instead of an 80-minute guy, so you get the most out of his running game, which is, you know, always such a great part of his play. I think Souths have the ingredients. It's just the cake's not coming together, you know?
Agree, mate. Agree.
Cam Beswick, was Vegas a success? What worked? What didn't? What would you change for next year? What teams should go over if they had to be different?
So I wrote about Serious Ben. You can go read my thoughts on it, but we can absolutely talk about it here. I think it was great. I think that it ticked all the boxes from an Australian's fan point of view, from an NRL's point of view. I think it was awesome. I don't think that anyone that said, oh, we're going to crack the American TV market ever truly believed what they were saying. I think I was pretty consistent in saying that I was skeptical that that would happen. And the ratings, I believe, came out yesterday, and it was, I think, 60,000 for the first game and about 45,000 for the second one. Is that right, Nick?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so not great, but again, this is I don't think that's what this should be going forward. I think that if it ends up being a carnival and a pilgrimage for a bunch of rugby league fans to go every year, I think that that definitely has viability. And with that in mind, I think that you would have to change the teams around. I don't think you can run it back with the same four teams. Maybe you could have one or two, but yeah, if you do the same four teams again, there are fans that might not go. They might not be able to justify the cost a second year in a row.
Well, man, I can tell you, I was here, and the amount of people who said to me, if my team went over next year, I'll go.
Yep.
You know, so like if you go the same four teams every year, like eventually, like people, it's a once in a lifetime trip, right? For most fans. Mm-hmm. So you can't be doing it every year unless you're like, you know, on that good stuff, on that good.
Yeah. Run. I think to make it work, you have to change at least three, if not all four teams every year. And if you do that, I actually do think it can work long term. I think that everything they did, every step of the way, was really good. The only thing that they got let down by was the wind was so strong in Las Vegas on game day. It was 100 strongest in 100 years, apparently. And it was so strong that they had to call off the fan fest outside the stadium beforehand, which I think was going to have a really great vibe and atmosphere to it as well. But other than that, everything went, and that's not their fault, it's the weather. Other than that, everything else went off without a hitch. And I think that I've spoken to hundreds, if not thousands of people over there, like from fans from various clubs, and everyone seemed to be having a great time. Everyone seemed to be having a really good time. I think the events were really well put together. I think the stadium itself is amazing. And the crowd was certainly big enough to justify having that venue allocated to the NRL again next year.
Yeah, look, I was, like you guys will remember, I was pretty skeptical about this whole venture. And I kind of was from the start. I wanted it to work 100%. I've been a big believer in rugby league in America for a really long time. But the more time I've spent in America, the less likely I think I've felt that it's like it's actually going to happen. But I got to say, once everyone got over there and you could see the photos and the vision and people were telling you about the buzz over there and all that, I was like, wow, this is – like even just the weekend, the excitement leading in and how excited I was about it being back here surprised me, you know? Mm. And I think the game day experience looked really good. It looked great on TV. Everyone back home was talking about it. Like everyone was like, ah, the Vegas games, let's go, let's check it out. I think there are some things that could have been done better. And I think it's okay to say that because the first year you can get things wrong because sort of the general excitement will push that over the top. I think the NRL sort of, most of their marketing push into America was very old school, you know, like the idea of like, we'll get it on Fox Sports 1 and everyone will watch it. It's like, I don't know how many people watch Fox Sports 1 in America most of the time, you know? And we are in an era where cord cutting is a really big thing.
There's I think a lot of people got confused. They thought that like Fox Sports 1 is what the Fox channel that shows the NFL games and stuff is, where it's not. It's a premium cable channel that like, that's like what Skip Bayless' show is on. And it rates like around that show, for example, I think gets like 100,000 viewers to it.
Yeah, I know. But see, you bring up a good point with Skip. I think the majority of people who engage with stuff like that do it through social media, right?
Correct.
So I think for the NRL next year, I think there has to be a higher premium on engaging with American content creators, which is a fucking horrible sentence to say. But that's how people engage with their sport these days. Like I thought that, you know, I think there was some of the, like Barstool Sports had some guys there. If you've been on the internet, the sports internet for more than 10 minutes, you know who Barstool are. Like, it's not my cup of tea, a lot of what they do, but that's the sort of thing I would like to see the NRL push towards. Like, going for an existing fan base that's hyper-engaged that is proven to fill that demographic that you're looking to go to. And in the second year, in the third year, in the fourth year, in the fifth year, when the novelty does wear off, that's kind of what you have to do. And I think the other thing, and this is much harder, I think they need a bigger celebrity presence at the games. You know, there was a very funny article in the lead up. I don't even remember who wrote it or where it ran, but it said, oh, yeah, there's a lot of celebrities coming, but they've asked the NRL to keep their identity secret. And I was like, well, they kept their identity so secret that we never even knew that they went, you know. But, you know, stars are what sell things in this modern social media age, you know. Like you need well-known people to be there to sort of sell it. And I'm not talking about Russell Crowe or Hugh Jackman, as famous as they are. I'm talking about people with, again, a really high engaged audience on social media. That's how you sell shit in this modern world. I hate it. I don't understand it, but that's how it works.
Yeah.
In terms of teams for next year, I do like the idea of the teams that win staying. I like the idea of there being higher stakes. But if I had to go four new teams, I think what they'll do is I think they'll go the Panthers because they're out of their stadium next year, so they'd be willing to sell a home game. You send them over there, they're the best team in the comp over the last 5 years. They're in the black jersey, so there's a link with the Raiders. They'll wear silver numbers. It'll be fucking great. I think the Warriors would be a really smart pick to go over there because you're engaging an entire another nationality. People overlook the Warriors as one of the big clubs, but when they're going, they have one of the biggest fan bases in the sport. I think Melbourne are really keen to go, and I think that will get over the line because the Melbourne power brokers are very influential in the NRL, and they're very influential in sports betting as well. Just Google Matt Tripp sports betting. You'll realize what I mean. And then I think they'll want to send a Sydney team, so they'll send Parramatta.
Yep, a lot of travelling fan bases there and also the Storm.
Well, I know that Canberra really pushed to go to this first one and nearly got over the line. And the whole crux of their pitch was, we're the Raiders, there's Raiders over there.
It makes sense.
You can't argue with that sort of logic.
You really can't. But fine picks, my friend, fine picks. And Yeah, I thought it was great, and hopefully a lot of the people who it kind of did feel like that first Magic round, in the sense where I had messages from a bunch of people back home saying, I wish I'd come, I should have come, shouldn't have been a coward, et cetera, et cetera. And
I mean, I was brave enough to go to Vegas for a week.
Yeah, exactly right. But you can, listener, I believe in you. You can get over there next year.
Okay. Tom Hay, describe the general vibe of each of the team group chats on Discord.
All right. So again, if you join our Patreon, you'll get access to our Discord server, in addition to having sub channels for footy, game day stuff, and every possible other sport you could think of. There's also specific channels depending on what team you support, which you only get admitted to as a fan of that team. So some are bigger than others, Nick.
They are. But I can say the Raiders one is great. Even before I was a host on the show, correct, I loved hanging out in the Raiders one. It's like being in it's being in a group chat with a bunch of your mates, and but you all support the same team. So
let's run through them quick by quick and try to just do like one or two word adjectives on them. Broncos, okay.
Populated,
smug. Right.
We have more Broncos listeners than any other club. That's exactly. It's a good group.
It is. Raiders,
damaged,
wholesome. A lot of nice people in that.
Can I just read to you the last message that was sent in the Raiders Discord? Like this is the day of the season opener, mind you.
Mm.
You know, and we're all getting pumped up. And one of the guys goes, "I'm constantly switching between we're going to get killed so bad to what if we just win over and over." That's what it's like.
That is Raiders fandom in a nutshell.
That's it.
Bulldogs.
Quiet. Just not a lot of chat. We just don't have a lot of Dogs fans in there.
If you're a Dogs fan, you want to make some noise?
And then gave it up.
Yeah, the Dogs one is very inactive. Sharks.
United.
Fiery. Love my Sharks cord.
All together. They're all together. They're all pulling in the same direction. Titans. Ironic, because for a while we had no Titans listeners. So you and
it was
me
just
used
me.
To,
yeah, you used just to, I you post to, one message every yeah, 6 weeks. Yeah. But we got a few in there now. So.
We do. We got some good people in there now.
Yeah. Sea Eagles.
Chosen.
Elite.
Team of the show.
Mm.
For those of you who followed all our team previews where we had everyone pick the numbers, Bert spun the wheel in Vegas and Manly came up.
So. You know what happened? Do you know what happened that's so crazy as well? So after we went out that night, we walked back through casino and Charlie, we go, let's just do one more spin for fun. Like we just put $10 on our birthdays again. And it came up 11, which was one of Joe Barton's other numbers.
The wheel decides.
So we did it twice and Manly won both times.
God has decided that Manly are the team of the show. I hate it. No, Storm. I don't. I love Manly because they're the team of the show. Storm professional. It's just game, just game chat in there. Goes locked quiet in. Over the sum up, just getting it done.
Was.
Quality.
Dormant.
Well, no, we don't have a lot of Warriors fans in there, but the ones we do have are really good. Like we've got Sam Stevens, great question asker. Jason Oliver.
Two-time question asker of the year.
I know, and he's going for three. And Jason Oliver, who does, I think, the best technical rugby
one of the best rugby league writers.
Learn something every time I read his stuff. If you're not reading it, then you're crazy.
Knights.
Okay, overachieving, which sounds like a diss, but it's not. It's because there's not that many of them in there.
But we love them all.
But they're very active across the rest of the Discord. They're all out there.
Cowboys.
Deserted.
Empty. Eels.
Solo, because our dear friend Pies Josh is doing his best to keep it alive.
Because yeah, Edwin doesn't remember how to open Discord.
Yeah.
Our
social media expert doesn't know how to use the great up-and-coming social media platform. Nice one, Ed.
But he's on Threads.
He's on Threads. Like and subscribe.
Panthers.
Paradoxical. Because Panthers fans on the internet can be quite punishing, but all our Panthers fans, Benny Quags, Boston Panther, Rough Belly, Shunter, they're all really nice blokes.
Bored with success, I would say. I met BP and his young fella on the weekend. They're both great.
A great man, BP. I'll meet you at Hamilton's.
I've never felt older than when his 10-year-old son said, "I'll follow you on TikTok."
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. All right. Rabbitohs. Nihilistic.
You know what mine is?
What?
Ilias.
Oh. Roosters.
Heel.
But also, a lot of Lenu discourse in there at the moment, and they're all surprisingly unbiased. So that's good.
You can't reveal the contents of what they're saying in there.
They're saying that they're all good men. They're all men of good character.
That's meant to be a cone of silence.
Men of good character.
Dragons. depressed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lean.
West Tigers.
Hopeful.
Irrepressible.
Mm.
They're always ready to believe again.
Can't keep them down. And Dolphins.
Tropical. The boys are just in there, Hawaiian shirts, mojitos in hand, like listening to Jimmy Buffett, having a great time. God bless them.
Mm.
Patrick Lawrence. Campo, is there a better encore in music than the Nationals? Oh, I'll tell you what, man. I saw the National twice last week. It was sick. I was up in Brisbane.
They are, of course, your favorite band.
They are my favorite band. I was up in Brisbane for some work stuff, and they happened to be playing River Stage in Brizzy. Great venue. Go there if you haven't. It's the first time I'd seen them. I had tickets to see them in 2020, but they didn't come out because of COVID. They were fantastic. They were great. Loved it. They've put out about 6 or 7 albums that are all really, really good. So they change their set list every night. I liked them so much that on Friday night, I wasn't doing anything. So I went and got a cheap ticket and saw them down at the new theater down at Darling Harbour. Did a completely different set list. It was awesome. And their encores are always really strong because they always do About Today, which is the song from the end of Warrior, which you'll remember well. They do another great one of theirs called Terrible Love. And then they finish with Vandalay Cry Baby Cry, which I don't like that much. But because their catalog is so deep, like they very rarely miss. Like I had a cousin of mine come with me to the gig to Brisbane, and after about the first 5 songs where I'd elbowed him every time and said, bro, you won't believe it, I love this one. He started saying, we get it, dude. You love all the songs. So I will say one of the other greatest encore I've ever seen in my life was when I saw Guns N' Roses in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And their encore was Coma, which is fine, but then Patience and Paradise City. Shit was off the hook.
Bangers.
Sam Stevens, the 2005 El Clasico is considered one of the most stacked matchups in soccer. What games do you think have been the most stacked matchups in both NRL, finals included, and representative football,
okay,
Origin and Test? That's why Sam is our two-time question asker of the year.
So I've got one here. The game itself didn't exactly live up to the hype. If you look at the teams on paper, yep, I think almost all but one played either Origin or played for their nation. And that's the 2006 grand final.
Oh, I have one of them. I had that down too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's one guy from each team.
Nathan Friend and Shane Perry. The only
that's
ones
right. Play that's right. Right. So yeah, on the Storm team, it's Nathan.
And
Friend.
They're both great players.
Friendy just missed out because Cameron Smith exists. Right. Mm. And Shane Perry, not as acclaimed. But yeah, like the star power in that game is crazy, you know?
Yeah, if people, so Slater, Geyer, King, Inglis, Turner, Hill, Kronk, Cafusi, Smith, White, Kidwell, Hoffman, Dallas Johnson, Blair, Jeremy Smith, Ben Cross, Nathan Friend, coached by Craig Bellamy, Hodges, Darius Boyd, Brent Tate, David Stagg, Carmichael Hunt, Darren Lockyer, Shane Perry, Webke, Berrigan, Sivan Nassiva, Thaiday, Brad Thorne, Tony Carroll, Corey Parker, Dane Carlo, Ben Hannon, Casey McGuire, coached by Wayne Bennett.
That's good. Okay, so that's the best club example, I think. I've got 2 really good rep examples. So the 1998 State of Origin series, so the first one where everyone's back together after the Super League war, all 3 games are really strong, but these are the teams for game 2. So the Blues are Tim Brasher, Rod Wishart, Paul McGregor, Terry Hill, Adam McDougall, Laurie Daly, Andrew Johns, Rodney Howe, Jeff Toovey, Paul Harrigan, Dean Pay, David Barnhill, Brad Fittler at lock, and then the bench is Andrew Enninghausen, Steve Menzies, Nick Kossef, Glenn Lazarus. Then the Queensland team is Lockyer, Saylor, Renoff, Darren Smith, Matt Singh, Kevin Walters, Langer, Webke, Hetherington, Larson, Thorne, Tallis, Bartram, Eichen, Price, Lang, Carroll.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. But I've got something that's not nearly better, but it's still really good. The 2003 City Country game.
Okay. I like this.
All right. Okay. So played at Express.
This is back when, of course,
Stadium in Gosford.
People used to take it seriously and you'd get the big guns playing.
This is one of the last years where they did take it seriously.
These teams are ridiculous, by the way.
Yeah, okay. So here's the country team. David Peachy's at fullback. Tamana Tahu and Matt Cooper on the wings. Jamie Lyon, Sean Timmins are in the centers. Trent Barrett and Andrew Johns are the halves.
Could be the Origin back 7.
It honestly could have been. And like every one of those blokes played a fair bit of Origin except for Peachy, who sort of got a raw deal and only played once. Then the forward pack is Ryan O'Hara, who doesn't seem much now, but he played Origin the year after. Danny Badiris, Jason Rolls, Craig Fitzgibbon, Ben Kennedy, Glenn Morrison. Again, that's not far off what the Blues pack was that year.
Yep.
And then the bench is Josh Perry, Willie Mason, Daniel Abraham, and John Morris. Abraham and Morris are sort of the 2 odd men out there. But Abraham was
very good players.
Very good before injuries got him. Morris played 300 games. That's a really good team. Here's the City team. Anthony Minicello, the fullback, Hazem El Masri and John Hopewadi on the wings, Mark Gasnier and Mick Devere in the centers. Another all origin back five. The halves are Braith and Astor and Brent Sherwin. The forward packs, Jason Stevens, Craig Wing, Robbie Kearn, Steve Menzies, Brian Fletcher, Luke Rickardson. Not only did all those guys play Origin, they all played Origin within a year of this game.
Yeah.
And then the benches, Solomon Himono, Lance Thompson, Joel Clinton, Craig Gower. City Country fucking ruled. I'll keep saying it. We could have had that. We could have had teams like that playing each other all the time, but we decided we didn't want it.
Yeah, that makes me sad. But those are some cracking answers.
Great stuff. I can't believe I'm going to say this on the main feed, but Warthog Orgy Fart asks, mm-mm, what are the best slash worst names that you can think of for American-based rugby league teams?
So are these ones that exist or ones that we're making up?
Well, I think if you were to sort of try and revamp a national comp over there, using some of the existing names would be really cool. Like, because these are them great ones. There's the Southwest Florida Copperheads.
It's great.
You know, there's the Boston 13s who have a really cool...
My beloved Brooklyn Kings.
The Brooklyn Kings. Philadelphia Fight. That's a nice, great name. You've got the LA Mongrel, the LA Bandidos.
Not fighters, just the concept. Just the fight, having a fight. Yeah.
Sponsored by Murphy's, a friendly place to be. You've got the LA Mongrel, you've got the LA Bandidos, you've got the Santa Rosa Dead Pelicans, and you've got the San Diego Barracudas. They're my favorites, dog. The Santa Rosa Dead Pelicans play out of For Pete's Sake Field.
I should have gone to the Nines. Apparently Chris McQueen played for the Brooklyn Kings at it.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
God damn it.
Fun stuff. And then the worst is just anything generic. Like,
yep. The Boston Americans.
I actually don't mind that.
It's terrible.
No, but like the Boston Tigers, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The New York Wildcats.
Yeah, yeah. Don't
anything,
love that.
Anything where there's like multiple colleges that I know that have that nickname.
Yeah, yeah.
Too mainstream.
Or just taking an Australian name just for the sake of it.
Yeah. I want the Memphis Mongooses.
Oh, see, that'd be awesome. I don't want the San Francisco Raiders.
No.
I don't want the Houston Warriors. You know what I mean?
Also, like, San Francisco Raiders would be doubly terrible because, of course, the 49ers and the Oakland Raiders had such a big rivalry that, like, even San Francisco probably wouldn't embrace the name Raider anyway.
Almost definitely wouldn't. But, yeah, like, go out there, man. Like, and you can see this. I think there's going to be a trend towards more unique names or more unique mascots, because I think the two major American sport rebrands over the last few years are the Washington becoming the football team and then the Commanders. Yep. And the Cleveland baseball team becoming the Guardians. And they both suck.
They're terrible.
And one of the finalists for Washington is they were going to be the Washington Red Hogs.
Yeah, the Hogs of War. Let's go.
How good would that have been?
And then the Cleveland could have been the Spiders. That was another. It's like,
see, that would have been dope. But
what were the other fake names I came up with last week? Like Nashville Nightmares, I think is fantastic.
No, I think with Nashville, you got to go.
We're going to have a more partier name.
Well, dude, the baseball team there's called the Nashville Sounds.
I like that.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Plenty. But yeah, and I anything Wildcat, Bulldog, Tiger, all terrible. Get rid of it.
Unless you put a color in there as well.
Yep.
Like the, or an adjective. So like the Detroit Bulldogs sucks, but the Detroit Fighting Bulldogs, then I'm in.
Ooh. Okay.
Then I'm in. Yeah.
And now it's time for our Patreon question of the week.
It's asked by a beloved patron, Matt, the Quokkas were asking for at Bungard.
Shouldn't have chosen this one.
Really shouldn't have. Would you rather be a fan of a team like the Tigers, not many finals games but have won a premiership, or like Para, is in and around finals each year but has never won a premiership in your lifetime? I'm already one of these things.
Yep. This one's a slam dunk.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Oh, 100%.
100%. Every South season for the last like decade pretty much, where they've been like good but not quite good enough, has just ended with like a feeling of like, what if in my brain? Whereas I kind of look so fondly back in those early 2000 years where we just got smashed every week and winning was a treat. And nothing can ever take 2014 away from me. Give me the Tigers' existence in my lifetime over Parramatta's any day.
Yeah, 100%. I've often said that if Canberra win a premiership when I'm old enough to appreciate it, I will be happy forever. I will never ask for anything else. You can take the rest and you can have it back. I wouldn't need anything else. We could come last every year for the next 10 years, but I'd elbow you in the ribs every time and say, yeah, we lost by 60, but you know, what about 2024? What a year that was. You know what I mean?
They can never take it away.
That's right. You know, I do feel a degree of sympathy. Like say you were a Tigers fan who was quite young in 05. Like, say you were still just a teenager and you couldn't really appreciate it properly because you're still that young. That's sort of a different wrinkle. But the age we are now, you know, sort of knowing what this is about a little bit, 100%. One title, you're going to have the rest back. Stephen Smith. Some asked if last year's top four NRL clubs should have gone to Vegas. The real question is, why send clubs from a second-tier league without a win in competitive interleague matches for 4 years? Why not teams from the dominant Super League, which experienced a 100% win record over that time? Or are the Seppos just not ready for true top-level rugby league players and players of the caliber of French Field and future immortal Brody Croft? I don't know if we've got a question from Steve Smith before, but this is
what a debut question. What if a this is, yeah.
rookie, mate, question ask of rookie of the year. Great Could stuff.
Be. The next Chris Sandow, they're calling him.
He makes a lot of good points.
So I saw someone today float the idea that we go three games. We do the two Aussie games like normal and the World Club Challenge, because I feel like a lot of Brits were there in general, but they'll definitely get a lot more if there's a team coming from over there. And on top of that, I don't think you can just do the World Club Challenge because I don't think there is an interest from the Australian point of view.
Yep.
I do not think that neutral Australian fans would have travelled to watch Penrith play in a World Club Challenge. I just don't think they would have done. And I don't even know if that many Penrith fans would have travelled. But if you pair the two NRL games, make sure they're still for 2 points each, yep. and you have the World Club Challenge, then you just give Penrith the bye the following week, or whoever wins the comp this year,
yep.
bye the following week.
Yep.
I think that might be the best way forward. You have the World Club Challenge on one day and you have the double header the following day. I think that might, that I think would be an absolute winner, because then you engage that, and English fans love to travel to sport. That's not limited to rugby league. That's football, cricket, everything. They love traveling to sport, and the Super League diehards are truly diehard. They'll come to watch their team play, and it would be good to sort of ingratiate them into this properly. There were a lot of English fans present, but it would be nice for them to have some representation in terms of the playing stage.
I like when someone raised the possibility of playing the World Club Challenge over there, it captured my imagination for all those reasons that you said. There would be a part of me that saw the spectacle of Penrith and Wigan and how great a night that was for English rugby league in England. And I would be sad to lose that, you know? And the idea of having two big events, well, only having one big event when you could have two, you know, I don't know about that, but I do like the idea of getting Super League involved in some way. Cause I know that the caliber probably isn't as high as the NRL, but I imagine that it's probably a bit more accessible for American fans as well, right? The time zones line up a lot more easily. So I don't know. It'd be great to get him involved. Maybe we just let them decide because they keep winning the World Club Challenge.
Indeed.
Katoa Tonua Tavare, which translates to the house always wins. What would the NRL landscape look like if DCE went to the Titans all those years ago?
Well, we wouldn't have got the most hilarious back page in Gold Coast Bulletin history. That's for sure.
But you people
dirty
don't...
cockroach. Was it dirty cockroach?
It was some, or was it filthy cockroach?
I don't know. It was DCE photoshopped like in a Blues jersey. Right? It was very funny.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, look, people who are a bit younger than us might not remember what a huge deal this was.
It was gigantic.
At the time, it was massive. Like, and it wasn't just massive that he ended up going to the Titans or backflipping. It was like 6 months of discourse before that, because there was him and there was Foran, and Manly could only afford to keep one. And whichever way they were going to go, it sort of said something about you as a footy fan. Like, what did you value more? What Foran brought or what Cherry Evans thought? I always liked Foran more, but I always thought that you have to pick Cherry Evans because he can just do more stuff. And I think that's sort of been borne out a little bit. If he'd gone to the Titans, I don't know if he's still playing today. And he definitely doesn't have what he sort of enjoyed over the last 3 or 4 years, where at long last he's worn everybody down and now everybody likes him, which was unthinkable back then. You know, now I have an enormous amount of respect and even affection for Cherry, for the stuff he's done, especially for Queensland. But back then, respected him as a player, but he was loathed.
People really didn't like him. They thought he was fake. They thought he was like putting on an act a lot of the time with the media.
Yeah. And I remember the presser that he gave where he announced he was backflipping on the Titans, and he said, I signed with the Titans, but I was always curious about what Manly had to offer. And it was pretty clear that I was like, okay, well, this was a ploy from the start. You haven't actually had a change of heart. You were always going to, you were always going to do this. That's how I sort of read it at the time. I think if he goes, I'm not sure of the timeline on this. Foran might have already signed with Parramatta by the time this happened. But if he goes, I think then Foran stays, and then Manly look very, very different. They probably don't have the continuity around Cherry Evers that they've enjoyed over the last 10 years. If he goes to the Titans, it's a funny thing to say now, but they were kind of putting something together a little bit. Like in 2016, they make the
finals. Cherry Evans, Ash Taylor, halves combination in 2016.
Do they get Ash Taylor at all?
That's true, because he, of course, played one game for the Broncos in that 2015 season and then came down a year up. Do they ever get him? That's a really good point.
Yeah, and does Ash Taylor then stay in Brisbane? Does Ash Taylor have the same how do you put this? Does Ash Taylor sort of have the same struggles through his career with sort of, I think early it was a thing about sort of engagement, and then I think later he just didn't like playing for.
Well, I don't think he would have stayed because I think he would have gone anyway, right? Because they still would have had Anthony Milford and Ben Hunt regardless.
They would have, but then maybe does Hunt move to hooker and they move on McCulloch? You know?
These aren't the most exciting sliding doors, I will say that. Like it's a great question in terms of wondering what would happen to Cher Evans from a personal view, but Manly had the really good year in the COVID affected year. And other than that, they've kind of just bumbled along for the last few years. So whilst I love Cher Evans, I think his individual form has been absolutely sensational in the last couple of years. I'm not sure how much it seismically changes the NRL's landscape purely because I still think the Titans would have been good enough to make some serious noise. And Manly haven't done anything with it. So,
maybe without him, Manly bottom out completely.
Maybe
without him, Manly like just get anchored to the bottom of the ladder and become one of the, and just end up in a spot like the Dragons did or like the Tigers did after they lost Teddy and Moses and all of them. You know, maybe that happens to Manly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's not quite as sort of seismic as, you know, what if Greg Inglis had stayed on the plane to Brisbane instead of coming to South?
Mate, it rained. Planes don't fly in the rain.
Planes don't fly in the rain. Everybody knows that.
Adam Small, I think this is another new question asker. Would multiple/progressive sideline NFL-style cameras work for an NRL broadcast? Yes.
Yep.
Yes. The number one complaint I have about NRL broadcasters is not enough cameras. You want more cameras. You go back and watch games from the 90s, they're shooting shit from crazy angles, dog. It's like they got Scorsese directing that thing. You know, you watch particularly the Fox League games now. I think they have a camera in each corner. They have a camera on the halfway line. And I think that might even be it. There might be a sixth one somewhere. And then when they do a little bit more than that, it really stands out. Like when they have that Fox Rover thing at Magic Round that goes along the dead ball lines and it just gives you crazy angles and you see it all a lot differently. I understand why Fox don't do it, because Fox's whole thing is like keeping production costs low. And like this shit is McDonald's, right? It's the same every single week. But more cameras for everything, more cameras for every single game.
And I've griped about this a billion times on here, but give me the camera swinging behind the goalposts when we know someone's about to take a field goal attempt. So
how Vossi's got the corner post?
Yep.
You've got that.
Yeah.
That's that is your crusade.
Thank you. And one day we'll get it.
One day we'll get there. And that's it for the Patreon questions, which means if you want to hear the rest of these, the rest of the Discord questions, which I promise you are much, much wilder and much more woolly and a bit more all over the place. They're fun, but you know.
And we're going to do our weekly draft as well. We draft whether it's episodes of TV shows, movies, songs from bands, anything else. We do a snake draft every week on a topic of a listener's choosing.
Yeah, so, and if you want to ask a question as well, just sign up to the Patreon and you'll get all these goodies and much, much more. You'll also get a winner of our Coltrane Cup tipping competition, which you have to do by the end of round one if you want to be in with a chance. So please, please, please go and do that. But that's about it, man. Sign up early and often. Tell your friends.
Please do. And to patrons, we'll speak to you very soon in your own private little show. Don't you like that? Doesn't it seem fancy?
Bert's taking you in the champagne room.
Oh, yeah. All right, say goodbye. Cross
a few lines, see where it takes you.
Maybe. All right, say goodbye, Campo.
Goodbye, Bertrand.
That's goodbye from me.